A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, hey, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa. And this is the Max Fun Drive.
Yeah.
Woo! This happens once a year, and it's all about supporting Max Fun because it's a listener-supported network. Without you guys, we can't keep podcasting.
Yeah, so this is the one time a year when we ask you guys to donate, to renew your donations, to upgrade your donations.
Yeah, in exchange for that, we'll send you gifts. And we'll continue to make this show. So, yeah, we'll have a couple of breaks during the show where we tell you more about it.
Yeah, but this is the best time to become a member.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. So, with that being said, welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. I forgot to talk about something on the last episode.
But what?
I think that talking about it now is just in time.
What?
I'm going to be in Melbourne, Australia, for the Melbourne Comedy Festival. This comes out, yeah, just a few, like a week before I get there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So you guys should come see me do shows. I'm going to be there for 10 days doing shows. I hope people come to see me.
Of course they will. That's awesome.
If we have Australian people listening.
Good
day, mate.
Yeah, we've had a couple Australian fans. Good day. I have some friends. Oh no, they are from Melbourne, but they currently live in South Korea. So never mind.
It's not that far. Come on out.
Right. Yeah. Just fly back.
Impromptu sort of.
Yeah. They are fans of yours.
When I got my passport renewed, I kind of wondered like if the people renewing it were like, you're never coming back, are you? Because I know I'd be thinking that if I worked at a place that renewed passports.
Yeah,
right now.
Right now. I'm going to India in a couple days
from
now. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just stay. It'll be interesting.
That'll be really interesting.
To see another country. Have you been to Australia before?
I never have.
Me neither.
I'm very excited.
It's going to be fun, I bet.
Yeah.
It seems fun.
I do love the show Please Like Me.
Oh.
And that is set in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
seen
by
it.
The way, one of my agents kept calling it Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Which is, I think, how Australian people say it, but that's not how I'm supposed to say it, is it?
Melbourne. Melbourne? Well, maybe it's like you're not supposed to say like Mexico, you know, just say it the way you'd say it. It's like I don't think you have to pronounce it the exact way that the locals pronounce it.
Yeah. It just seems a little pretentious.
Yeah. But it is fun. Melbourne.
Yeah. Melbourne.
Right. I think I've made the mistake of trying to do an Australian accent in front of Australian friends and it didn't go well.
I think it's probably adaptive of like, if I hang out too long with someone with an accent, I start
doing it.
Doing the accent.
Yeah. Or if I listen to a podcast where the host speaks a certain way, I'll start speaking that way or like adopt some of their things. It's kind of embarrassing.
Have I started saying things you say and have you started saying things I say, do you think?
I think we both got into saying things were tight around the same time, and I enjoyed that. But I don't know who started it.
This might be a question our listeners could answer.
Yeah.
Although, one thing that I think is interesting is that sometimes our listeners don't know which one of us is talking.
I know. We have such different voices in my mind.
Or like people who just don't know anything about us outside of the podcast, maybe, are just listening and just have no idea who's who.
Yeah. I still can't tell the McElroys apart, and like we know one of them. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, when you're listening, it's a little hard.
But their voices sound exactly the same.
Don't they? I think they do.
And they're brothers. There's something, I was watching Frasier. Of course, this comes back to that. I was watching Frasier the other night, and Daphne's brothers all have accents from different parts of England, and it makes me so mad. They grew up in the same house.
It reminds me of that Siobhan Thompson video where she's just doing different dialects from around England.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's funny. It's very,
it's
great.
That sounds great.
She can do all of the different voices. So, I mean, yeah, obviously, this is Emily speaking right now.
How dare you?
I'm the milky voiced one. I heard you describe my voice as milky once and I have never forgotten it.
Did that hurt your feelings?
No, I had no idea what that meant. And I was like, oh, milky.
I think it's like a meaningless thing to say, but I do find it to be slightly milky.
I like it. Yeah.
My voice, I don't know.
Maybe slightly more nasal than mine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Slightly more nasal than most people in the world. One time, oh my
well, you're
God.
Not like this. Like,
yes, I am. One time when me and my brother were in high school, we got in a fight about who had a better singing voice, and he was like, "Your voice is too nasally."
Rude.
Also, what kind of fucking pretentious ass family are we that we're like, "I am the superior singer.
I'm more on key. You're flat.
I'm right here. You need to be right here."
Oh my God.
I wanted to talk about this. I saw the movie A Dog's Purpose, which was very bad.
Did it make you cry? Because just watching the trailer made me cry.
I will say you watch a lot of dogs die in that movie, but they're all played by Josh Gad. So that softens the blow a little bit.
I didn't know that.
I was like... It's they set up very early in the movie that there's dog reincarnation, like,
but they just reincarnate as other dogs. They don't ever become anything else.
And it's unclear where they stand on human reincarnation. But it's like it starts out where Josh Gad's like, "This was what happened in my life, and then I immediately died, and then I came back," and that happens in like the first like minute, so that you know that every time a dog dies, it's going to still come back as Josh Gad as another dog.
Isn't it sad, though? Like,
it's very sad. I mean, you watch a lot of dogs die.
That's like my least favorite part of any movie with a dog in it.
It is when the dog dies.
Yeah. Why would you
do it over and over?
Why would you do that?
It's, I mean, and I felt bad because, like, I know that there were people being like, "Don't see this movie. There's animal cruelty." But I also haven't eaten meat in 18 years. So I feel like I maybe have earned it.
You're good.
And we saw it at the IPIC. Have you ever been to a movie at the IPIC?
No.
Oh my God. It is a really, I would watch like a live human birth at an IPIC theater. It's how comfortable.
Wait, are you saying that watching a live human birth is not good?
Oh yeah, that's like not a thing I want to do ever at any point.
What's special about IPIC?
Like, I would watch my grandparents have sex on, I don't know.
Saying that that's something you don't want to see.
Also not a thing I don't want to see.
I wasn't clear.
IPIC is like a national chain, I think. And it's movie theaters where you sit in like a big Barca lounger that like electronically reclines. Oh. It has like buttons that recline it.
Are there like speakers in the seat or anything?
No, it's just like a normal movie theater. Otherwise, there's just like not that many people there. And so it's more expensive, but they serve food like dinner and drinks.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there's like a button you push to get service where you're sitting, and they give you like a blanket and like a pillow. It's like flying first class, but in a movie theater.
There is a place like that in Williamsburg where you could like order tater tots while watching like...
Oh, yeah.
The Master or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Master? Is that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I watched there.
That was the only movie you were allowed to order tater tots during.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Scientology and tots. Yeah, that theater was fun.
So anyway, none of you should see A Dog's Purpose. I'll tell you what the dog's purpose. Do you want to know what the dog's purpose is?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So the dog's purpose is to die and come back to life until it eventually finds its way back to its original owner from its second life and reunite him with his high school girlfriend.
And then
after the dog accomplishes that, he becomes focused on making the owner understand that he's the same dog as he had. And so he convinces
Does the owner recognize?
He doesn't, but then he eventually, it's like the craziest fucking thing where, so like, the first dog's name is Bailey, and then he gets renamed a bunch of times, and then he becomes a stray dog and then finds his way back to the owner and then convinces the owner that he's his original dog by finding the old toy that he used to play with and doing this very specific trick that the owner taught him.
Oh, that's a good move.
And it's Randy Quaid, and he leans down and he's like, "Bailey? Is that you?"
And the dog's like, "Rawr, rawr."
And then he had like just reunited with his high school sweetheart, and they're like 70 years old now. And I'm just picturing him being like, "Hey, so I have to tell you something. This dog is my old dog reincarnated. Are you still married to me?"
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
This sounds good, actually. I kind of want to see it now.
Yeah. Now that you're prepared for all the dog deaths.
Yeah.
After we saw it, Gonzalo, who we saw it with, was like, "So which was your favorite dog death?"
Did they die in interesting ways, at least? Or was it... You're reading the Barkskins currently, which is a book I just finished, and every no spoiler, but it spans 300 years, so some people in it die, and they die in the most cinematic ways imaginable.
There's a lot of scalping in that book.
Yeah. But there's some fucking crazy deaths in it.
I think I maybe haven't gotten to the ones you're thinking of yet.
They're nuts.
No, most of the dogs are put to sleep.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's very bad. And Josh Gad plays all the dogs.
I hate that. Sometimes I like wonder what my dog would sound like if she could talk. And if she sounded like Josh Gad, I'd be so upset.
Oh, Indy doesn't sound like Josh Gad. And it's like Josh Gad, who, by the way, plays Olaf, the worst character in any movie of all time.
Yeah, terrible.
And
yet morbidly fascinating to me.
It's him being like the most sentimental version of Josh Gad. He didn't want to play anymore. And like there's parts that, and I know that this is like a very petty thing to have a problem with in a movie, but there were parts where he would be like, and then he got in that big box and drove away. And I'm like, okay, you know the word drive, but you don't know the word car.
Yeah.
What's the rules here?
Yeah.
What's the rules about what words a dog knows?
I actually kind of hate like things like that are like fiction written from the point of view of a dog or whatever, where it's kind of like that. I hate that stuff.
Yeah. Because it just feels unknowable or
yeah,
what?
And it's just dumb. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing for me to say, where I wrote an entire like illustrated list of things dogs want, and it was like from their point of view. So I don't know.
And that you also work on a show about a horse.
Yeah, I guess I just like it when I do it. But
that applies to most things.
Yeah. Speaking of bad movies, someone wrote us an email that was called "White Dude Offers Unsolicited Opinion on Tapas Restaurants," and it was in reaction to us. Ranting about La La Land and how we thought the samba and tapas place sounded good. And he doesn't mention samba at all in his email. And
which, by the way, my main thing was samba is also culturally important music.
Yeah, tapas, like, whatever. But he wrote a crazy long email with many points about why tapas restaurants are bad. And I actually like this email a lot, because he keeps saying like, I apologize. I know you're going to hate this email. You're going to hate me, but I can't stop myself. And I think that's really funny. And
I think that's a good self-knowledge. You're like, correct. We hate you. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, we were both just like, ugh. But then I like slowly, it took me like hours to get through this email, because I kept getting bored and quitting. And it's just like, tapas are emblematic of the worst elements of gentrification. It's like, yeah, sure. And then he gets into like allocation of resources, because you have a tiny amount of food that you have to share with everyone. And I'm like, that's a fair point. But like also,
the point is, a white guy being mad that a jazz club closed, I still hate.
Yeah.
It's still bad. La La Land is still bad, and I still didn't enjoy it even after reading this long email.
I will say, Rob, our producer, saw La La Land.
We cannot divulge this with him without him here.
No, I just think like, He told us he saw it at the Vista Theater, which is a great theater. I think if you were to watch La La Land, it would have to be at that theater.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful and like, you know,
very LA.
Old-fashioned in LA. And he liked it. And I was like, I totally respect that. I respect that he's had to listen to us bitch about La La Land for like hours at this point. And he still went and
he
was
saw
like,
it after listening to us do that.
Yeah. And he made up his own opinion. He was like, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm like, I respect that, man.
And I absolutely think if you saw it in theaters, and you weren't allowed to turn to each other and say, here's a problem I have. Oh, here's a problem I have. Then, yeah, you could get way more swept up in it.
And I did actually hate it, but a lot of me ranting about it is just enjoying having such a strong opinion about it. Something
yeah,
so stupid.
Yeah, it feels good. It's dopamine.
It feels good.
We will talk about La La Land for the rest of time.
Yes.
should we do Chunch Chat?
Yes.
It's time for Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ban Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch. Ban Chunch.
There's no new Ban Chunch news. Ban Chunch. But Martha did write a post about her chickens recently.
Oh, yes.
And I would just like to rattle off the list of all the different kinds of chickens she has.
Yes,
if that's
please.
All right. Okay. Lemon cuckoo Niederreiner, a black copper Marans, blue copper Marans, buff Brahma, white crested black polish, mille fleurs de éclair, bantam, the rare cream leg bar, which is valued for being a prolific layer of medium-sized blue eggs, lavender Orpington, lavender Wyandotte, silky bantam, splash Americana, silver spangled Hamburg, and a cuckoo blue bar.
These all sound like Star Wars things.
Rude.
I'm just saying Star Wars rips off chicken names, probably. Or if they should.
Yeah.
Are you listening, J.J. Abrams?
A buff Brahma? That sounds super Star Wars-y.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a bunch of other ones. That
the
sound...
rare cream leg bar. I like lavender Orpington. That's my favorite because yeah, it like sounds that. Like a fancy person's name.
Yeah, it sounds like a very fancy boy was reincarnated as a chicken.
Lord Lavender Orpington III.
I want to see a chicken's purpose.
Yeah.
And nothing happens.
Where chickens get reincarnated as other kinds of chickens.
I should also say, after we saw A Dog's Purpose, I said, I wish the sequel would be called A Dog's Porpoise. And it's about a dog being friends with a dolphin. And then my boyfriend drew that on a Valentine's Day card for me and quoted me, and I had forgotten I had said that.
That's very sweet.
I thought so. That concludes Chunch Chat. It's time for One on Fun.
One on Emily,
yes.
If you had to pick one ethnic kind of food that you'd have to eat, but no others for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh my God, Ethiopian food.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've ever had Ethiopian food with you.
Oh, but you've had it in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's really good.
I was about to shut the podcast down and drive to little Ethiopia.
Yeah.
There's one block in LA where you can get Ethiopian food. Yeah. And nowhere else in the city. It's the one thing that makes no sense about the cuisine of this town.
Yeah.
La La Land did not explore this at all.
There's really good Ethiopian food in Oakland, too.
Yes. Yeah. All over.
Yeah.
Oakland and Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
God. Lisa.
Yes.
If you could only eat one food group for the rest of your life, which food group would you eat from?
Wait, what's a food group?
Like, you know, from the old food pyramid.
Oh,
like
carbs?
Grains or vegetables or fruits or meats.
I would just eat...
Or sugar and
grains.
That. Just grains?
Yeah, just bread.
Yeah.
If I could live off it, yeah.
I love bread! I'm Oprah.
Would I get scurvy? Or would I be safe?
I don't know. I haven't thought this all the way through.
I guess
you would get scurvy. Yes.
I could take vitamins.
Yeah. I guess it's like, yeah.
I just love bread.
I love bread.
Yeah.
That concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Jackie Cation. We know
everything, baby geniuses. Hey guys, it's Max Fun Drive time.
Yeah.
Here's why you should donate. Because it supports us. It supports the other shows on Max Fun. There's so many good shows.
Yeah.
You'll feel awesome every time you listen.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, I did that. I helped make that happen.
Yeah. And it helps pay for LaCroix for our guests.
Yeah. It helps us pay our excellent editor and producer, Rob.
Rob.
You'll help Max Fun reach their goal of 10,000 new and upgrading members. That's so many.
Yeah.
You'll get gifts, so it's not completely altruistic. Like, you'll get stuff in exchange.
Yeah, the gifts this year are really cool. If you pledge $5 per month, you will get access to exclusive bonus content.
Yeah, you can hear our episode where we talk about Anne Hathaway.
The Hathathon.
The Hathathon, where we watched Princess Diaries.
Yeah, it has its own theme song, which you're going to have to just donate $5 a month to get.
Oh my God, it's such a good theme song. worth it for that alone.
If you pledge $10 a month, you get Drive exclusive enamel pins designed by Megan Lincott. There's a different design for every Maximum Fun show, but I highly recommend donating our name because the Baby Geniuses pin has a picture of a butt on it.
It's so cute.
That says, Hello, Babies.
It's great.
I love it.
I hope I get one.
I hope they give us one. If you pledge $20 a month, you get the Keep in Touch kit, 9 custom note cards plus envelopes, 3 encouraging designs designed by Brian Sunny D. Fernandez.
If you're wondering what an encouraging design is, one of them says, keep it up. And one says, your hair looks nice today.
Yeah.
So I think that's great.
Yeah. It has a 4-color rocket pen, a getting there rocket stamp, and a rocket-shaped candle.
which smells like a freshly sharpened pencil, friendship, and a little bit of wax because it's a candle, according to someone.
It's basically like just the most awesome stationery set you could possibly imagine.
It's kind of phallic, but yeah. I really like it.
Yeah. If you pledge $35 a month, you get a pair of rocket engraved beer mugs.
Who wouldn't want that? You could put them in your freezer to make them all cold and frosty.
They look awesome.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
If you pledge $100 per month, you get membership in the Inner Circle, the monthly culture club where you get free, cool pieces of media that are awesome. And, oh my God, you pledge $200 per month.
Whoa, big spender.
Big spender.
Hey.
You get a date with me. No, I'm just kidding. you get free registration for Max FunCon 2018.
Which is kind of like a date with all of your favorite podcasters.
Yeah. All of this stuff is for new and upgrading monthly members. Current members only receive the gifts listed here if they upgrade. So even more incentive to up the amount that you're donating. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Yeah.
To become a new member, upgrade your membership, et cetera, et cetera.
This is the best way to show your support for us. You know, we don't have a lot of ads on our show. We don't really have any now. We occasionally have a Jumbotron message. But your monthly donations really help us keep going and encourage me not to quit.
Yeah. Even and though Lisa desperately wants to quit.
I would love to quit, but you guys won't let me because you're so generous. And if you continue to be generous, I'll continue to not quit.
Yeah, don't let Lisa quit the podcast.
The best way to help us is to donate at the $10, $20, and $35 a month levels. That's like $1 a day or less. That's so little money.
And just a huge thanks to everyone who's done this already and done this in the past.
Yeah, I was blown away last year by how many people donated, and it really made a difference. It was incredible.
Go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Right now, while you're thinking about it.
Just do it. Pause the podcast and do it.
Yeah.
And then come back here.
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. Let's introduce our guest this week. Very funny comedian, podcaster. Any other adjectives you want thrown in there? Or nouns?
Mother of none.
I don't know if that's a thing. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Stay at home, not mom.
very much so.
Jackie Cation, everybody.
Woo! Hello and welcome to me. Welcome to me.
Yay. And your new album.
I Am Not the Hero of This Story.
Yes.
Is available on all of the things. And soon, hopefully, a CD. Because I'm old school.
Ooh, nice. I love a CD.
Not so old school that I need anybody to own a turntable, but old school enough that I need people to own a CD player.
Yeah.
Or at least one of those trays in your computer where you rip it and turn it into MP3s, you guys.
I had to recently buy a separate CD thing to plug into my computer because my computer doesn't have a CD tray
anymore. Yeah, same.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And they're getting rid of them entirely. Even though, what if you wanted to watch it? No, we don't want to watch DVDs either.
Can't.
Yeah.
No, we all just want to stream things. And
Unless you have like a Nissan Altima that came in a year where they didn't have a tape player or an aux port, which I used to drive. 2006 Nissan Altimas, CD is your only option. So,
oh, interesting. 2006?
Yeah.
Well, wait, I have a 2013 Corolla and it has a CD player.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Get this.
But you can also listen to other things.
Oh, yeah. It's got any number of USB ports. Yeah.
This Wikipedia page was sent to us by Rosie Fuller.
Thank you, Rosie.
Thank you, Rosie. One thing that I want to mention from her email that I liked in addition to this Wikipedia page was she said, a BBC podcast I listened to has recently revived a phrase the late Queen Mother used as a sign-off for communications. It seems apt. Tinkerty Tony, old fruit, and down with the Nazis.
Nice.
Great.
Oh my God. I want to use that. I may use that all the time.
I think it's fair game. And this is the Wikipedia page for concealed shoes.
Concealed shoes hidden in the fabric of a building have been discovered in many European countries as well as other parts of the world since at least the early modern period.
Quick question.
Yeah.
People in Europe are living in fabric houses. What's happening in the fabric?
In the fabric of a building.
I know. In it's the, obviously yeah, the way they're
construction
they're
material.
They're calling walls the fabric of the building.
Yeah.
But also, so European.
Fabric just means stuff.
Yeah, it just means
material.
I wouldn't be surprised if inside, I read about something a while ago where they were like, send us your old jeans. We'll put them in a house. to insulate the house.
Oh,
like, that sounds like $300 jeans that have never been washed, yeah, but have only been shoved in a freezer.
Yeah.
The raw denim.
Raw denim bullshit. Yes.
Fuck you guys. I'm washing my pants.
Exactly. Pants are to be washed. And I'm wearing underwear.
Okay. I want to say this because I had this concern before I read this page. This is not about the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's just put that out there right now.
Oh, right.
This is not a Holocaust shoes thing, so put that out of your mind.
Yeah,
right, because in the Holocaust Museum, there's an entire room full of shoes, I'm told.
Yeah. Oh.
And I only know that because a comic did a joke about how she was going through the Holocaust Museum, and there was a group of high school kids in front of her. And one of them was on her phone, and she said, I don't know where I am. I'm in the room with all the shoes. And you're like, well, that's the worst kid in the world.
Yeah.
That child was raised poorly.
Yeah. You really think that a Holocaust museum would just snap you out of all of that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Turns out, turn your phone off. Independent researcher Brian Hoggart has observed that the locations in which these shoes are typically found, in chimneys, under floors, above ceilings, around doors and windows, in the roof, suggest that some may have been concealed as magical charms to protect the occupants of the building against evil influences such as demons, ghosts, and witches.
Someone wanted them to take it on the arches. You guys, I do stand-up comedy for a living. A living. You guys, I don't think you understand how I get paid for this.
You're getting it for free right now, you guys.
Yep.
But come Max Fun Drive time.
They want to take it. You got to magically tell them to get out. Get out. So you got to put some shoes in the walls and the ceiling and say, oh, all right, this is the ghost of a toddler. We're putting tiny shoes up high. This is the ghost of a lady. Here is obviously a heeled vehicle.
I suppose it's hard to tell because they all look like just from a shipwreck.
Yeah.
Others may have been intended to bestow fertility on a female member of the household or been an offering to a household deity.
Or someone was hiding shoes. Someone was like, hey, my brother keeps stealing my shoes. I'm going to hide my shoes here. And then somebody died. There might be too many of them for that to have been a thing.
I think so. I mean, they also just didn't have YouTube. So, like, what else are you going to do?
Right.
They've been found in many types of building, including country houses, public houses, a Benedictine monastery, and a Baptist church. The earliest yet reported was discovered behind the choir stalls in Winchester Cathedral, which were installed in 1308. Northampton Museum maintains a concealed shoe index, which by 2012 contained 1,900 reports of discoveries, mostly from Britain and almost half from the 19th century. The overwhelming majority have been worn and many have been repaired. Most finds are of single shoes, about half of them belonging to children. Well, it makes sense they'd be repaired. I mean, back then you just had your pairs of shoes and you got them fixed if they broke. You didn't keep buying more.
Okay, it doesn't surprise me that 1,900 people found shoes in their houses. What surprises me is that they called someone and were like, I found shoes in my house. Are you who I report this to?
Yeah.
Who do you report to? That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to report it, though? I would.
I do have gloves in my wall that I wish about at length.
I wish there was a number
so
I could call.
Gloves in your wall?
They're right there. You can see them there behind glass.
Oh, you essentially opened up your wall because you found them in the wall?
Well, when I moved in, like, I had someone installed them in there.
Oh, okay.
There's these little picture boxes on the wall in my house that have just antique ladies' gloves in them behind glass, and they cannot be removed.
Yeah, your landlord was like, you can't get
my
rid
landlord
of these.
Doesn't know why they're there.
I desperately wish there was a number I could call to report them.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Right. Weird. What? How? Why?
We don't know.
I thought you had found gloves and then decided, I kind of wanted that, actually.
I'm sorry.
Is that you were like, I found gloves because there was a deity and I wanted someone to punch a deity. I don't know. I mean,
it seems like they're bringing you good luck. Like,
I guess so. But
sure. Yeah. Trump gloves.
Things are going all right.
Trump got elected.
Yeah, that's true.
Things kind of took a sharp turn for the worse after I moved into this house.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, Scalia dying was not enough.
Yeah.
It was not enough of a compared to, because he died in like February of last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everybody good died.
Yeah.
And maybe we were just too happy that Scalia died.
Well, we thought Scalia dying was good news because we thought we were going to get a Supreme Court nominee. And it turns out it was bad news because they didn't fucking confirm Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
Right? In other news, Northampton Museum maintains... Oh, wait, we already talked about that.
Yeah, the custom of concealing shoes in the structure of a building appears to have more or less died out sometime during the 20th century. Yeah.
That they know of.
Yeah. Right. Gonna start it back up again.
What
start
about
a
Imelda Marcos's house? Has anyone gone to the Philippines? She was famous for having over 2,000 pairs of shoes.
Really?
Imelda Marcos.
I learned that recently when my dad saw my shoe collection and was
and he
like,
made an Imelda
young
Marcos.
Imelda Marcos over here.
That's, yeah. Yep, there's Imelda Marcos's for people who are in their 40s. And you guys listening? Anybody in Melbourne?
Who is it for people our age? Carrie Bradshaw? That
seems
like less.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Sex and the City or Sex in the City?
Sex and the City.
And the City, huh?
Yeah. Sex.
But I don't watch a lot of television, you guys.
I feel like both are acceptable in the like dictionary, probably.
Sex slash city. Then it makes it slash fiction. I might be a dork. Who's having sex with a city? Anyone?
You guys, Jackie has had one cup of coffee.
But it's cold brew, so it's intense. That cold process stuff is super, super intense.
Background. Since at least the early modern period, it was a common custom to hide objects such as written charms, dried cats,
what?
Horse skulls,
what?
And witch bottles
in witch
the
bottles.
Structure of a building. Okay. I love how every item on this list is a two-word combination that I've never seen combined. Written charms.
Written charms.
Dried cats.
Dried cats.
Dried cats.
With their innards in them or taxidermied? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. I imagine not taxidermied because that would be, it would
you'd
be
have to,
stuffed cats.
You should, yeah, you should, if you're going to dry, guys, if you're going to dry a cat, I would recommend gutting it first.
Yeah.
Make a jerky cat.
There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, one way to dry it.
Exactly. You got to get one of those machines from infomercial.
Land. Wow.
Also, witch bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds sexist.
I would like one though.
Yeah, I want a witch bottle too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a
I watched all
right
seven
now.
Seasons of Charmed. I don't know what a fucking witch bottle is.
Yeah.
There's probably nine seasons. I think it fell apart in the end.
It's crazy that wasn't included. That show was so well researched.
Yeah.
It had everything, you guys. It had everything. And like Practical Magic, but for episodic.
Oh.
Remember Practical Magic?
No.
Yeah.
It was a movie from like 15 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sandra Bullock, probably. Nicole Kidman. It was before. I might not be super young, you guys.
So I feel Nicole like witches were in vogue for a while.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of years when everybody was a witch and it was okay.
Yeah,
and there was like a Cher one, right?
Oh. Yeah, the Witches of Eastwick.
Witches of Eastwick.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I was going to say I don't think that Moon movie was a witch movie, was it?
But it should have been. Might as well.
I don't think so.
The moon was involved. Was there a broom?
Yeah.
In Mermaids, she was kind of a witch. No.
Well, okay. So all of those things have been found in houses, but concealed shoes are by far the most common items discovered. Brian Hoggard has observed that the locations in which these shoes are found suggest that at least some were concealed as magical charms. Such hidden caches of objects are known by archaeologists as spiritual middens. MIDDENS.
Midden is an old-timey word for garbage dump.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it was essentially, you know, with compost, you're supposed to turn it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
With midden, you just pile it.
Oh.
You just pile it, and then you just,
easy.
It eventually turns into dirt because of life and death.
And because of shoe witches.
Please write that script.
Yeah. All right.
There's some stuff repeated here.
Yeah. That's fine. Locations of finds.
Yeah.
Should we skip down to there?
What, sure. If you guys now. Are people putting good shoes? Are these Sunday shoes or are they putting extra shoes? Because they all look like, you said they look like junky shoes, right?
Yeah, they all look junky.
Were they junky when they went in or did they turn junky?
The shoe manufacturer Norvik Incorporated a pair of their women's high leg boots in the foundations of their new factory built in 1964. And an even more recent account comes from...
That sounds like for luck, though.
I think so, yeah. A more recent account comes from Nebworth House, where in 1991, an estate worker's shoe replaced an old court shoe, quote unquote, that had been discovered behind some paneling. Nevertheless, only 50 post-1900 instances of concealed shoes have been recorded.
Who is writing this down? Who do we know?
Who is writing?
This is pre-internet.
They refer to this guy Brian Haggard a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
maybe has a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
You guys ever find any shoes? Excuse me, I gotta go touch myself. Hey, dick joke. Okay.
He created Wiki Feet.
So
you are very supportive, by the way, Emily Heller. Super supportive.
I love it.
This
is our second episode of the day. I'm just taking a load off.
Yeah. Most of the concealed shoes were made out of leather, but wooden clogs and rubber galoshes have also been reported.
I have a weird shoe fact.
Yeah?
You know the word sabotage? Are you familiar with the word sabotage? It is a Dutch word, and it is based on... what I have is half a story, you guys. It's fantastic. We'll skip the middle. We'll go right to the end.
Yeah.
It came from the fact that they would throw in their wooden clogs into the machinery to give everybody a half day off.
Oh.
That's where the word sabo, and I believe
and wait,
the name of the Dutch
means...
sabo means shoe in Dutch. Possibly. I may or may not.
Yeah.
Guess what? Y'all have the internet. Go for it.
Figure
out more about...
Verify your own
If
info.
You want to know more about sabotage, go to your local library.
Yeah. And do not email us.
Exactly.
Don't at me.
Yeah.
Should we go to the explanations part?
Yeah, although there's one thing in the location of finds. Concealed shoes have been discovered in many types of buildings.
Oh, we already read that part.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, it repeats.
Oh,
I don't
it
know
repeats
why.
A lot.
It's in the intro already.
You're right.
Whoever wrote this.
Someone
on.
Edit this page, please.
It's redundant. Several theories have been advanced to account for the incorporation of shoes into the fabric of a building. Some of them say it was a fertility charm. Yeah, we already said that. There's a longstanding connection between shoes and fertility, perhaps exemplified by the nursery rhyme, "There was an old woman who lived in a shoe," and the custom of casting
That's
a shoe.
Not enough.
Yeah.
And because cats have baby cats in shoes?
Well,
is that it, maybe?
Oh.
And the old woman who lived in the shoe had a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So
she had a boatload of kids.
Yeah,
she had a
so
shoe full
like,
of kids.
But she also lived in an enormous shoe,
which
isn't a thing.
Weird.
People extrapolated a lot from that, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's not enough. That doesn't sound like cause and effect. That sounds like a lady who lived in a shoe who happened to have.
Yeah.
But there's also the thing of throwing a shoe after a bride as she leaves for her honeymoon or attaching shoes to the departing couple's car. Yeah, that's that's a big thing.
That
I always
was
wondered
a big thing.
Why? But it's for fertility.
Yeah.
It's like go off
so
on your honeymoon
shoe?
And make a baby. I don't know.
Archaeologist Ralph Merrifield has observed that in the English county of Lancashire, women who wished to conceive might try on the shoes of a woman who had just given birth, a custom known as smickling.
What?
Please say that word again.
Smickling.
Thank you very much.
So if you have a baby and then I steal your shoes and put them on, I'm smickling?
Yeah, and you'll get pregnant.
And you're also a shoe thief.
Yeah. And also, why not, you know...
Ask me to borrow my shoes.
Yeah. I just had a baby. Maybe say something about the baby instead of just heading right for my closet.
Or steal the baby. That would get you a baby.
Yeah.
That's how
that
you...
seems like a much more efficient...
way to get a baby.
Cut out the middleman.
witches were believed to be attracted by the human scent of a shoe, and after entering, one found themselves trapped. Oh, so it's like they would lure them into the house with it?
More foot fetish.
Yeah. Or do they crawl into the shoe?
Oh.
Because they're unable to reverse, so they can't get back out of it. But
like sharks.
Yeah.
They can't go backwards?
Yeah.
Oh,
or earwigs.
They can't swim backwards?
Yeah.
An unofficial 14th century English saint, John Shorn, may have been the source of the belief that shoes had the power to protect against evil. Shorn was said to have succeeded in trapping the devil in a boot, a legend that may have its origin in a more ancient folk belief, which the church was attempting to convert into a, quote, approved Christian rite.
My grandmother used to occasionally hit me with a shoe.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, it didn't make me a babies, didn't make me lucky.
It did make you a comedian.
It did make me go to church. What? No, I don't know what it did, but it was just, I think it was just what was at hand. And she was like, come on.
Yeah, I feel like shoes being at hand plays a much bigger factor in all of this than people are giving it credit for.
Right. She also had another weird thing about shoes, my grandma. But I just thought of it as tidiness, but she said it was unlucky to have your shoes by the door. Like, you have the shoes by the door,
yeah.
But if they are not put correctly left to right together,
oh.
Like if they are not tidily put together, like you do have your shoes tidily put together so that you can just grab them and put them on. But I always thought it was a tidy thing. I didn't think it was. She was like, no, it's unlucky. And I was like, that sounds
did
like
she
an
just
excuse.
Tell you that to make you do it
yeah,
the right way?
If you could please keep your act together
yeah.
And not have shoes piled up in a corner.
We're almost done with this Wikipedia page.
We're going to need a second source on this shoe stuff, you guys.
There are no sources cited on this page.
Nothing cited?
Yeah. No, that's not
oh,
true.
That can't
there
be
are
true.
Definitely, yeah.
There's some.
There's way more sources than there should be. I think there are maybe like 20 different sources. Okay. According to Manning, Shorn's use of a shoe to capture or repel a troublesome spirit may have called upon an existing belief in the power of shoes and other garments to attract, repel, or lay such spirits. The Brownie and Hob, domestic fairies found in England and Scotland, could be driven off by a gift of clothing.
Oh.
In Russia, it was said that the Domovoy, a helpful domestic spirit, could be attracted to a home with an old boot or based shoe placed under the stove or hung in the yard. Interesting.
Remember Dobby the house elf?
Oh yeah.
He you couldn't give him. You couldn't give
if
him.
If you
clothes.
Gave them a piece of clothing, then
yeah,
they were
then,
set free.
Then they were free to leave. Yeah.
How is that not in this page?
Exactly. Please edit this Wikipedia yeah. page to include Dobby the elf.
How often do you think people just go through Wikipedia taking out Harry Potter references from literally every Wikipedia page? There's.
Oh, I want that to be a task.
All right. 13 of the shoes in Swan's analysis, only a small fraction of the thousands of concealed shoes reported worldwide, were buried in the foundations of a building. She has alluded to a possible connection with the Carthaginian practice of putting human babies in the foundations of their buildings and suggested
also
that
for luck.
Also for luck. And suggested that the shoes may have acted as a substitute for the person.
Wait, like babies that...
Like they used to put babies in the foundation to be like, this is a good foundation, like as human sacrifices.
Wait, live babies? It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
I'm going to say they buried a dead baby in the foundation.
Yeah, after they passed away.
You guys, we have so much more information now than people used to. That's always my takeaway from shit like this.
Yeah.
We just have. And yet... So many stupid people somehow.
Yeah. So many questions are left unanswered, you guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if you had time travel, would you go back and say, what's going on with the shoes?
I really don't know where I would start.
But this would be an excellent task. This would be like the Doomsday Book by What's-Her-Face, Connie Willis, I think it was.
I don't know.
It's a time travel, go back in time. Scientists go back and they ask questions of the people.
Oh.
But they have to blend in so that they can be kind of casual about it, obviously, right? So, but this is not the best book review you've ever received.
They've got to be kind of casual about it.
Right, because they're time travelers. You guys get it. Anyway, but that'd be an awesome, like, 19, it'd be like 100 bullets where you'd go back 1,900 times, find 1,900 different people that are burying shoes in walls and go,
why?
If you could just tell me quickly.
For luck.
Just, yeah. Right, okay, next.
I think in a time period when no one ever answered that question.
Yeah.
Or asked or answered that question.
You might
it would be hard to ask, I guess. Because it'd be sneaky.
Yeah.
There'd be sneakiness going on because they probably, if someone witnessed them putting the shoes in the wall, maybe the charm didn't work or something.
Yeah.
Who
maybe
knows?
They think you're a witch if you ask so many questions.
Yeah. And I would light my match. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I would be the ruler of the world.
And also it would have worked because the boots would have attracted you, the witch, to the house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That was, so the boots worked.
The boots worked. Yeah.
I've come from the future.
Yeah.
Mostly to ask, what did you want?
Yeah. that concludes Wiki of the Week.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Jackie Cation. All right. We're back with Jackie Cation.
Hello and welcome back to me. I don't know why I always say that. Because I say that at the Dork Forest too. I'm like, hey, we're talking with.
Yeah.
And then the person doesn't ever know what to say about that. Because they're sitting there being talked with.
Yeah.
It's just introductory.
Do you ever just say that when your husband walks in the house? Just like, welcome back to me.
Welcome back to me. Now I will.
Here I am, and this is what you're about to experience. Exactly. And we're going to talk about romance novels.
Right. Because many years ago, you know, like my last album might have even been Bread. I forget. No, I think it was Horcrux. Anyway, so my last album, I did a joke. The first time I ever publicly sort of admitted that I read romance novels was probably 6 years ago, actually, on the Dork Forest. Maria Bamford interviewed me. We've been friends since the 90s, and so I've insisted she be on the Dork Forest every year,
yeah.
Especially as she becomes more famous. Fantastic.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't I do that? We're in this together. So, and she's a good sport. And so one year I asked her if she'd be on the show one time, and she goes, yeah, I got nothing else to talk about. Can I please interview you about your dorkdoms? And
yes.
I said, sure, if you want. And so, but I felt bad, so I took her to lunch. and so we did it at lunch. And, but we talked about romance novels, and it was, and it sort of revealed to the world something, because I've always thought of myself, and this is obnoxious, but I've always thought of myself as particularly intelligent. and romance novels are considered the dumbest.
Yeah.
Even though they're no different than any other pulp, though, except for the pulp of romance novels has not been as accepted as the pulp of the rest of it.
Yeah. You know, like if mystery, you were reading sci-fi or mystery, it would be, no
horror,
one would laugh at you.
True crime.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, no, I love that crap. And, yeah. Or they might not even call it crap, you know, or whatever. And, you know, if you like Lovecraft, you're like, no, it's a classic. And I'm like, pretty mediocre written.
Yeah.
the guy's sentence structure was not fantastic. Have you ever tried to read Philip K. Dick? It's a convoluted, I've been on taking acid for a decade kind of thing, but great stories. I mean, they're wonderful. I mean, so I just love the stories, and romance novels are particularly shameful.
Do you think it's because they're like kind of porny?
No.
Really?
No, because have you read Heinlein? It's just one group of fuck. That guy just wants everyone to have sex with everyone all the time. The moon is a harsh mistress. I've read it, and it's about a lot of people getting to have some sex with a lot of other people, all the like puppies, just stacked on top of each other, parts going everywhere. Anyway,
it's romance novels just don't pretend to not be that.
Yeah, and it's because they're for women.
And
right. It's like what, chick lit or whatever.
It's
like,
it's diminished because it is. Because it is for, I just read a very interesting, pretty well written. Funnily, this is rude because maybe she'll hear about it, but I like her. She ended up writing romance novels, but my favorite thing about this book, I think it was called The Dangerous Book for Girls, and it's a nonfiction sort of casual academic history book. It's a nonfiction book about the history of romance novels.
Ooh.
And it's called Dangerous Books for Girls. But my favorite part of it is the beginning, when she was saying she went to BU or some fancy East Coast, something fancier than BU, whatever. somewhere in Boston. And she went home and she was studying women's literature, and her mom said to her, oh, do you ever read any romance novels? And she said to her mother, you mean those Fabio books?
Yeah.
No. What are you, nuts? And her mom goes, oh, so you're studying women's literature, but you're not reading the literature written by women, about women for women for the last 500 years? Oh, interesting. And she said, she looked at her mom and she was like, give me a syllabus. Because this woman is clearly super, like, just kind of an academic nerd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she ended up reading, you know, Jane Austen is traditionally, and Jane Austen wrote in her time for romance, but romance novels, ever since the novel was created, women would write them and it was okay.
Yeah.
Because nobody respected them. And then they were dangerous because they would give women hope. Mm-hmm. And and you're like, no, we don't have time for that. And then, but my favorite part was in the 70s, in the late, like, right before Harlequins, or when Harlequins were invented, because Georgette Heyer essentially invented the historical romance novel. Georgette Heyer wrote in the 20s and to 1972. And she wrote books that were set in Regency England. And she was British. And she wrote essentially historical novels, but they were all romance novels. And then she wrote some mysteries that are just okay. But I like them. But I like all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she didn't know she was creating an entire genre. And it was like, I mean, like a hundred-headed beast came from the Georgette Heyer novels. And they are very sweet and very funny. Barbara Cartland wrote these books in the 70s. And Barbara Cartland was Princess Diana's step-grandmother, weirdly enough. And Barbara Cartland wrote religious romance novels.
Huh.
They were one of the first ones I ever read because I ran out of books.
In junior
high. Matilda. Matilda. Except for no, because clearly I did not run out of books. I ran out of crap novels I was willing to read. I think I ran out of boys' books. I was reading a lot of Joseph Altschuler's war novels from 1910, and I ran out of them. And this girl I knew, she was a girl. We were all children. And she gave me this Barbara Cartland book. And so I read all of them, but they were the dumbest. They were so religious. And they only kissed after they were married on the last page. And that got me into Harlequins, which were not super sexy either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I read Harlequins because I had library fines. And so I just started shoplifting books from Kmart. And the only thing to shoplift from Kmart was a lot of Harlequin romances at the time. Still to this day, probably. And a lot of Spencer for Hire, you guys. Anyway, but it was, but that's how it all kind of got into it. And I didn't read. God. And there would be like, there was like years when I didn't read any romance novels. Like when I discovered science fiction and fantasy and then mystery novels. And like, I went down genre rabbit holes, and I am currently in a romance novel rabbit hole though.
Yeah.
So whatever.
How quickly did you move on from the ones, from the religious ones to like the hornier ones where they actually do it?
Yeah.
The good news. Well, I will say it took me, I think, college. Like read, it was very funny about, because the Harlequin romances were it would have been the late 70s. I was reading, the great thing about Harlequin romances and all romance novels is that they can be about anything. They're like fan fiction now, except for that back then you were like, oh, I get to go to Australia. Oh, I get to go to China.
Yeah.
Oh, and they had all races. They had, I don't know if they had, but I lived in a predominantly white town. And so there was like one or two with black couples on them. And I was like, ooh, look, people.
Yeah.
And they're going to describe people as chocolate covered instead of vanilla covered. I mean, literally, that's how bad the writing is. Can be.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of food analogies. So, I think in college, I started reading these ones called Second Chance at Love. And Second Chance at Love novels meant that the ladies had been married, so they had done it. So then they get to do it again. Once you do it once, you're fucked, as no one would say. And then you get to have sex again. Uh-huh. And it was pretty great. Pretty great. It was a lot of love, though. It was always reasons for love.
Yes.
And it's been really interesting because probably the last 6 or 7 years, I've read a boatload of romance novels, and some of them have gotten super dirty, and some of them
have some of them gotten more chaste?
I'm sure that I know that there are.
There's such a wide spectrum.
Yeah, they can genuinely, like, I was reading this one author, she tends to deal with PTSD.
Huh.
Yeah, and she likes all of her characters to have PTSD, and the sociopolitical, there's always a B plot, you guys. There's always you ever notice that with like the shittier the movie, the weirder the social message?
Yeah.
Like there's usually, like, remember Dirty Dancing? The message in Dirty Dancing is keep abortion legal.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
the message of Dirty Dancing. Footloose, censorship is bad. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see Blue Crush, the surfing movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
True happiness is found through corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
That is literally Absolutely. The message of Blue Crush.
I love that movie.
But it is a great movie.
Yeah.
And so the message can be right wing or left wing or just be a nicer human.
Is it hard to find ones that you like? Because there's so many different ones.
Maria thought it was so funny that I read these damn things that for like off and on for years, she'd go to like a Walgreens and bring me, she's like, what about this one? I was like, I don't like cowboys.
Yeah. And, oh, give it to me. I like cowboys.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I want to read a cowboy romance.
I just found out my 86-year-old aunt loves cowboy romance novels.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a hard time with, I like historical romances, and I like countries that I don't know a lot of the history because I don't want to go, hey, that actually isn't accurate.
Yeah.
Your research blows.
Takes you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, it takes me completely out of it. Yeah. So if I'm going to read a historical novel, I like it to be well-researched. If I'm going to read a historical romance novel, I could give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping everybody likes each other enough to kiss on each other.
I got into romance novels when I was in middle school and it was kind of by accident.
That's it.
I was really into horses. My mom bought me The Horse Whisperer, the novel.
Oh, okay.
And I read it and I was like, yeah, it's about horses, but it's also a romance novel. And I didn't know that. And I read it and I was like, whoa, is there more of this?
Is there? Because is The Horse Whisperer sexy?
Yeah, it's super sexy. It's like the guy who owns the ranch who is the horse whisperer has a romance with like the mom of the daughter who needs his services, and like it's super sexy.
Yeah.
And
that's written by a guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would like more of this, please.
Yes,
I like
please.
Horses, sure, but I'm also like horny now. And like, so I went to the library and I like bought, I took out like a stack of romance novels of all kinds. I tried all
just a variety.
Yeah. I didn't like the Harlequin ones, but I found some others I liked. I liked the hornier ones. And then I would just like read them in my room in my little rocking chair and like,
Hooray, horses and sex.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't seek out ones about horses, but, you know, I like the cowboy ones.
But you like cowboy ones.
Yeah, I do.
And I like the ones where, like, sometimes they're on the, like, I like to sail, so I would like pirate ones sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the coolest thing about romance novels is that they're like anything, you know? They fire your imagination. You're like, oh. And in a lot of cases with romance novels, they give you an opportunity to dream about things that you can't do and give you sort of an answer of, you know, like a lot of them are inadvertently feminist, which is why people did not like them.
Yeah.
And because they were like, one of the great things in that Dangerous Books for Girls, there was romance novels. They started selling them in grocery stores because it could be part of your grocery budget and your husband wouldn't know that you were buying because you didn't have a job.
Yeah.
You got an allowance.
That's so interesting.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to spend $3 on a romance novel.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to check out for a heartbeat. And then like, I remember being super mad about Time Traveler's Wife. And I've talked about this on some other podcast.
That's okay.
Yeah. Time Traveler's Wife made me laugh.
Grind that axe.
Exactly. Right, because more people are asking me about romance novels than I've ever been asked about forever in my life. Ever since I did jokes about them, they're like, I love romance novels. Like, I have a new tantric sex bit that's on the new album. Uh-huh. And the reference is about a tantric sex thing that's described in a romance novel I read, that I've read. And two people in the last, and I've been working on that bit for probably a year, two people in the last year, two women have come up to me afterwards and like, is that a Lisa Kleppis book that you're talking about? And I was like, yeah, it is. It, as a matter of fact, it is. And
that's fascinating. I also think that there's like something sort of inherently subversive, especially at the time, about presenting like, what if a man didn't treat you like property?
Yeah.
Right. Or, and the Dangerous Books one, they were talking about guys who, the bondage and domination stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the woman who wrote the book had this speculation about why they were so attractive. And it was attractive because you're like, oh, so a guy who knows exactly what he wants, you don't have to make him dinner.
Yeah.
You don't have to do his clothes. He literally just wants you for sex. And you're like, yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
At least for 3 hours while I read this fucking book. And yes, no, I'll get you milk in a second, honey. Yeah. I just need to not think for a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If you have 3 kids or 5 kids or anything, right?
Yeah.
If your life is entirely dedicated to other people, I see why someone might want to read a book where you didn't have to think about a woman who didn't have to take care of anybody, that she was being taken care of.
And where your proxy is being like kind of worshipped.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I mean, the things that were said about, and they're still said about romance novels is like, well, it gives women unrealistic ideas of what love is. You're like, or aspirational.
Yeah.
Like, you might want to rise to the occasion, buddy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and they don't in the way that, you know, any other fiction doesn't tell you, you know, I like Star Trek. It doesn't mean that we're all not going to have, we're only going to have jobs that we love and everyone's going to have health care. I know it's unusual. That's why we all aspire to that too. Or that thing where you walk up to the door and the door just parts for you.
Yeah.
Like at the grocery store that came from Star Trek, you dumb shits. That's exactly where it came from. It showed up on that TV show, and there was a nerd of some fucking Poindexter sitting in a basement going, well, we could do that. It just, you step on a mat, and it's got a mechanism, and it leads to a, and then the door's opened by them. Did you want to do that? We could do that.
And yeah. That's how it happened. So maybe we just need to get men to read these romance novels and stop acting like such jerks.
And plenty of men do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men do. And they, I mean.
Yeah. Men like men, erotica and stuff.
Yeah. And if you think about, like, people are always like, well, I wouldn't read a romance novel, but I read a lot of Jack Reacher and mysteries and Jason Bourne. I was like, those all have sex scenes, my friends.
Yeah.
Those are all, there's sexy times going on in all different crap genre. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. I mean, people want to have sex. And they want to read about other people, how they, you're like, oh, is that how they do it? I remember it. I remember the first time I read about Doggy Style and I was like, oh, interesting. What is that? What's happening? Well, because I didn't date for a long, I mean, I just had, and my sexual experience was enormously limited. And then, so I would read these books and then I'd be like, oh, well. If other people are doing it.
That seems plausible.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I don't want to do is say, that sounds like it hurts. I'm not going to do that. Don't stick your thing in that hole.
Well, on that note, we are running out of time.
Let's call it. Yeah, we can call it on that.
Man, I want to start reading romance books again. It's so great.
The new album, I Am Not the Hero of This Story.
Yep.
Stand Up Records. Everywhere.
March 3rd.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter, etc.
Just at Jackie Cation. I have two podcasts, The Dork Forest and Jackie and Laurie Show.
Both really great.
Both excellent.
Super fun.
Yeah. Jackie Cation, everybody.
Yay.
It's time now for Expert Hour.
What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We need an expert. We need an expert. We need an
Expert Hour.
Welcome to Expert Hour. Let's introduce our guest this week. He is an expert in, I guess, would you call it like dessert psychology? Or
It's different than dessert psychology. I'm actually a dessert psychic.
Oh, I must have misread your email.
I'm bad with emails. That's one thing
everyone
knows about me.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Roy Lips is here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's rare for me to be outside of my house.
Oh. I relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. So let's talk a little bit about what it is that you do.
Of course, I can communicate with the future and the past through your dessert history.
Whoa.
Oh.
What's a dessert history?
I will need a full accounting of all the desserts that you've eaten, and in order, and I'll be able to tell what has happened to you and what will happen to you. I can communicate with anyone who's passed on, any relatives that you have who have died.
Oh my God. Oh. That's exciting. I don't know where to start. So how extensive of a dessert? So you can do that for us?
Literally anyone.
Oh
the desserts are my medium through which I communicate with other realms.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So you would just name a dessert, or if you allow me to hold a dessert that you're going to eat, I can tell you what will happen.
Oh my God, I can do that. I can name a dessert that I ate yesterday, and there's still some of it left in the freezer, so you can hold it while I talk about it.
All right, great.
I have been nursing a carton of eggnog ice cream.
I was going to ask if it was
early December.
Going to be that same ice cream.
And I had some yesterday. I'm not going to lie. I had some yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, picking it up.
Yeah.
There's still a significant amount of ice cream in here.
There is, yeah. I bought a lot because I was
so
really worried about it being gone.
Small bites.
Well, I bought two cartons of it, and this is the second
one. Is it a seasonal item?
It is a seasonal item, yeah.
Okay, all right. Wow. And I'm holding it.
I think he might have picked up on that because it says season's greetings on the carton.
Yeah, and it's
I don't
eggnog.
Read terribly well, so it was actually a guess.
Oh, okay.
I'm
very
not a
intuitive.
Good reader.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm holding this and I'm getting a D. Mm-hmm. Is there someone whose name starts with a D in your life?
There's your dad.
It could be your, it could be your dad.
Yeah.
Frequently, the first things that I see are a D and an M.
D and an M.
Usually that hits with most people.
Oh.
Like D your mom and dad.
M. Could be a mom and a dad.
Mom and a dad.
Do you have a mom and a dad?
I do. Yes.
Then I am. Are they alive?
They are, yeah.
Okay, it's not them.
Oh. Oh. So a dead person. Well, you, my grandfather died recently. His name was Dave.
That's the D I'm seeing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what about the M?
The M.
Do you know any dead M's? I hope this isn't too personal.
No, it's not.
But it'll help you
enormously.
You cannot
embarrass me. That is one thing you need to know about me is I cannot be embarrassed.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I have any dead M's in my life. My dog Mocha.
Oh.
Yes, that's exactly who I'm talking to. I'm talking to your dog, Mocha, and your grandfather, and they want you to know they're both fine.
Oh, that's great.
That's good.
Yes.
Where are they?
They're both together in, I can't tell. One of my skills is only talking to people. I can't see where they are.
Thank you for being honest about that.
Yes, yeah. I would never lie as a psychic. It is my sworn responsibility to be honest.
Yeah, you're super honest about your limitations.
Yeah.
See, that's, I think, one of the things that, like, why people think psychics are bullshit sometimes. No offense.
That's okay. I'm aware of the stereotype, and I'm breaking it every day.
Yeah. It's because, you know, they overstate their powers, and I don't think you're doing that, which I think is good.
I would never do that.
Great. So, okay. So Mocha and Dave are fine.
They're fine, but I cannot confirm their location. So there's a chance that they're stuck between realms, or there's a chance that they are in hell.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Mocha was pretty naughty. She would get into the garbage a lot, but she was a good dog.
Yeah.
She wants you to know that wasn't her fault about the garbage.
Oh, really?
Yes. She didn't have the power of words, so she could never tell you that she was always hungry. So you didn't feed her enough.
Aww.
She was so fat, though.
That made her cry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, God.
She doesn't accept your apology, but not in a mean way.
Right. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Lisa, do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Or do you want like more information?
I'm only seeing an M and a D. It's usually the only two things that I see are an M and a D. And then I have to talk to the person until they find an M and a D.
Well, you also talked about like the connecting to the future as well as the past. Mm-hmm. So is there like...
Oh, is there a dessert that you haven't eaten yet?
Yeah, I guess.
Great.
Is it more eggnog ice cream?
Is it the rest of the eggnog ice cream? It needs to be like a dessert I'm planning to eat that I have not eaten
yet? Yes, it could be anything. I don't even really need to hold it. Holding it will make the images more vivid.
Oh, who plans their desserts ahead of time, though?
Many of my clients do.
Really? Okay. Wow.
I mean, I guess it's like if you're going to have a birthday cake.
Yeah.
Like, okay. What kind of birthday cake would it be?
Well, I don't. My birthday is not till October, so I don't
then know. I cannot help you.
Okay,
mine's not till June. Mm. I guess.
Do you have a typical birthday cake that you would eat that you would have every?
No,
you don't.
No,
I feel like that's a normal question.
Do a lot of people in their 30s have a birthday cake they have every year?
I think people have a favorite.
A favorite, like chocolate. I would say.
I don't know a lot of people in their 30s. Most of my clients are in their 80s.
Oh, wow.
Can I tell you a somewhat traumatic birthday cake memory?
Yes.
And maybe this will sort of help you give you a little bit more insight into me is when I was, I would say about 8 years old, I asked for a very, very specific type of birthday cake that my parents could not procure.
What kind?
Because I had made it up. it was like with like coffee flavored frosting, and they got pretty close. They had like coffee beans on it.
That sounds good.
I complained, and my brother called me a brat, and it really hurt my feelings. So I don't know what that tells you about.
It, unfortunately, I can't deal with the psychology of things that actually happened to you. I am not a psychologist. I'm just a psychic medium. But I can tell you that your dog thought that was a dumb thing to ask for.
Wow.
She was there for that.
Really saucy wherever he is.
Wow.
So you don't have anything that you like to eat for dessert?
Well, I just kind of eat whatever's there. I mean, I like...
You eat whatever's there.
Well, like, I ate a lot of... like,
Lisa is known for eating very bad meals of, like, olives and things that she finds in the fridge.
Yeah. I mean, I ate a lot of Girl Scout cookies recently, so I guess that's dessert. Great. And then also, we had some ice cream in the fridge. It was, like, some vegan coconut chocolate ice cream, so I ate that.
And what kind of Girl Scout cookies were you eating for the most part?
The Samoas and Thin Mints.
Samoas are the ones that are mostly coconutty.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I'm
a lot
trying.
Of coconut lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm seeing something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I seeing I'm seeing a D. Is there a D in your life?
My grandmother, Leda. Leda?
Oh, that's good.
No.
No?
It has to start
with
a D.
It's not her. It has to start with a D.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh.
David
Bowie just died.
David Bowie.
It's David Bowie.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He says he doesn't know you well.
Yeah, honestly, I was...
He's honestly bothered by this. Oh, my God. Tremendously.
He must be really annoyed in the afterlife.
Right, well, he'll have to be here. I'm seeing something else.
I'm kind of embarrassed that you bothered David Bowie just now.
Trust me, so am
I'm not,
I.
You cannot embarrass me.
I would rather have bothered Prince, but okay.
He doesn't start with an M or D. He would never talk to me. what is the M that I'm seeing?
I'm just
Michael Jackson.
Oh, my cat, Marsha.
It's Michael Jackson.
Oh, man, I'd much rather talk to Marsha. Okay. I miss Marsha.
I can try. I'm searching through.
Wait, I have questions for Michael Jackson.
And I also had a cat named Mish. I have two cats to start with M.
All right. Well, Michael Jackson.
I'd rather talk to Marsha. Mish was kind of stupid.
Why?
Why what?
Was he stupid?
Mish?
Yeah.
She was just not very bright.
Okay. All right. David Bowie and Michael Jackson are speaking with me right now.
Oh, okay. God, this is so embarrassing.
Ask Michael what the deal was.
Yeah, what's his deal?
He threw his hands up.
Oh.
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
That seems like probably what he would do.
Classic Michael. I've communicated with him many times because he's one of the most frequent M's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Okay.
He doesn't know, but he giggled a little.
Oh.
You can ask a more specific question and I'll try to get his answer.
Did he molest those children?
Instantly said yes.
No.
Yeah. But he said not in a bad way.
Oh my God. That's
tracks.
I don't know what that means, but I believe that his barometer of reality is different than ours.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
David Bowie was super grossed out by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Bowie's
Bowie's no angel.
No?
He had sex with someone who was underage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was it? Like a long time ago?
He grimaced when you said that.
It was the 70s.
How old was that person? Was it a boy or a girl?
14-year-old.
Oh, no.
David Bowie says, I can't remember. I was married to Iman.
Oh, wow.
Was he married at the time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk to Lisa's cats.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do my best to talk to your cats.
Okay, try to track
I'm
down
sending
Marsha.
David Bowie and Michael Jackson away.
Yeah, leave them alone.
Thank you.
And I can't confirm, I can't confirm or deny where they are.
Yeah.
It's very possible that they're in hell.
It really sounds like it.
Yeah.
They seemed comfortable, so I think maybe it's not hell.
Huh.
But I have never been to hell.
Maybe hell doesn't exist.
That's also possible.
Oh.
Again, let's acknowledge
I'm not a
the
theologist.
Yeah.
I'm not a theologist. what are your cat's names? Mish?
Yeah, there was Mish and then there was Marsha.
That's two M's. It's very unconventional for me. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to Marsha.
Oh.
And she says she speaks for Mish as well.
So they've met each other.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I own them many years apart.
Oh, is that... She's saying, she's very dismissive of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's saying, of course, all cats know each other.
I love that. That's great.
Once they die, they all know each other.
I love that. Okay. It does sound real. Like, that makes sense.
And is there something you want to say to Marsha?
Oh, I just, loved her. She was a great cat.
She wants more.
She wants more? Yeah. She was pretty needy later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got needy.
But she wants more compliments from you.
Yes.
Oh, I thought
she wants you to speak about her coat.
She had a lovely coat. She was like kind of a really weird calico color that I've never seen in another cat. It had a lot of gray in it. And she was very cute even after she had to have her nose surgically removed. And we called her Skull Cat, and it kind of hurt her feelings, I think. But
she said it hurt her feelings enormously.
I know. I could tell it did.
She was devastated for the rest of her life. Although she confirms that she was happy for the rest of her life, she is saying, I never quite recovered. It was always in the recesses of my mind.
She was a very elegant cat.
Wow.
Oh, she loved that. She went wild. But she also wants you to know she's fine.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Do you have any questions for Mish?
Is Mish doing okay? She seemed a little like a lost soul to me.
She's saying they don't know each other terribly well because there's so many cats where she... So she seems pleasant, she says. Yeah, she seems good. Fine. Yeah.
I have a question for Marsha. Lisa's cat.
Yeah.
Like, what's the most embarrassing thing you saw Lisa do? She's listing a lot of stuff.
She is, yes. She's snickering like crazy.
We had her when I was quite young, so I'm sure I did a lot of stuff. My brother got her when I was like 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's saying something about a garbage can.
A garbage can.
Does that ring a bell? Was there anything with a garbage can or a sleeping bag? Something that's flexible but could ensconce you?
I did. How did she know about that? I did wet my sleeping bag once when I was at camp.
I believe that was it.
Talking about it.
Yeah, yes. My parents did talk about it.
Oh, shit. Thank you, Marsha.
I can't believe we got that out of her.
I know.
That she was very... I will tell you, she's highly protective of you.
Oh, that's very nice.
She wanted to keep that a secret for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay, Marsha. I'm over it.
Yeah. She said she still feels awful.
Oh, wow. What a good cat.
Yes.
Very good cat.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your practice. So, sure. Like, what kinds of people generally come to see you?
All kinds of people. Anyone who wants to know about their future or their past or their present mm-hmm. will come and see me.
And how
celebrities, regular people.
Can you name any of the celebrities?
Sure. I don't care. The current CEO of Pepsi. The current CEO of Pepsi.
Wow.
Is a client of mine.
Wow.
She's a giant dessert eater. And so my work with her is very simple.
Oh, because she
eats. She eats a lot of desserts and it's very easy to connect.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you think it is about dessert that is so predictive of people's...
I believe it's not necessarily predictive, but the consumption of dessert is something that allows people to feel more free than they possibly do at other times.
Oh, I
and
can
so
totally see that.
It opens up channels to other worlds.
Yeah. Do you get different results based on different types of dessert?
Yes.
Because it seems like you're getting D&M a lot.
I can't explain the nature of my gift, but I do get a D&M every time.
Speaking of my future, I realized...
Usually it's mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
Yeah.
I realized there is a dessert that I am planning to eat. Which is next December, I am planning to eat more eggnog ice cream.
Okay. All right. I'll try to
You have
use
the
that.
Whole year to get over.
Where do you
it.
Get it? Is it a store brand?
Well, this year I got it at Kroger.
What is that?
It's like a big grocery store. Or no, okay. Did I get it? No, at Ralph's. Ralph serves Kroger brand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll probably get it there or at Tucker's Ice Cream in Alameda, California.
Alameda's in Northern California.
Yes, it's in the East Bay.
Again, locations don't matter.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying anyway.
I'm sorry. I was just curious. I'm an enormously curious person, but the practical matter at hand only needs to be related to dessert. Eggnog. Yeah, the eggnog ice cream that you'll eat next Christmas. I'm getting an M.
Okay.
And yes. a D.
Right.
Yeah.
So is this like people that are going to be in my future or
yes.
is this
okay? In your future, yes. It's not the same people I've already talked to.
Okay.
So I can't. Your grandfather and your dog have vacated my mind.
Okay. So this is, are you saying these are people who are going to die? Or wait, what is it? How does this part work?
So these are people, when it's your future, when I'm communicating with the past, those are people who are passed on. When okay. I'm communicating with the future, they're people who will be in your life.
Oh.
Or in your life again. Oh. So many times I'm working with clients from broken homes, so they'll be reconnecting with their M and their D, their mom and their dad.
Ooh. Oh.
But you, I assume, no. So an M and a D could be anyone. The M is a lady.
Okay.
She's older than middle-aged.
Okay. All right. Marsha. I do have a pen pal named Marsha, for real, though.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Can you... it will only work if I know what kind of dessert she eats.
Oh, well, she is in prison. So...
I cannot communicate with anyone in prison.
Okay, all right, yeah.
The walls are too thick. They ruin my gift.
Okay. I wonder who else it could be. I mean, it's in my future, so I can't possibly
you
know.
You can't know. Yeah. It is a woman. She's older than middle-aged, and she... doesn't know you right now.
Okay. Do you know what's going to happen between us, or is it...
She will be a positive force in your life.
Oh, that's good.
But then she will be mean.
Oh, no. Is that what the M stands for?
It can stand for almost anything. But sometimes, yes, she will be a positive force in your life, but she will turn on you.
Oh, no.
And the D is... I honestly think it's just your dad.
I hope everything will be okay with him.
My mom and dad are coming down for a visit in a couple months.
Okay.
So, and we're going to go to Disneyland.
Oh, great.
And we might go to Medieval Times. That's a DNNM again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Disneyland and Medieval Times.
It doesn't work with places.
Oh, right. Places don't matter.
I cannot see any places in the future or any locations. I'm not a topographical artist.
Okay. Well... I think I don't have any more questions. Do you have more questions?
No, I'm really excited I got to reconnect with my cat.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
I wish my cat White Whiskers was named something that started with a D or an M.
Because
I
was named White Whiskers.
You have a cat named White Whiskers.
I did, yeah.
I can try to contact them, but I'll need a dessert that he makes you think of.
Okay. Again, it was a girl cat.
I only believe cats are boys.
Okay. Oh. I guess I'm trying to think of like something that she makes me think of. We had her when I was a kid. So I
pudding.
Guess, you know what? There was this like really specific type of like frozen slushy chocolate, like squeezable dessert thing that my mom used to get in the Bay Area that was so fucking good. And we used to eat that in that old house that we lived in that she also lived in.
Okay. I can try.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a White Whiskers.
Yeah. She loved throwing up. I don't know if that helps.
That's enormously helpful.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm seeing, of course, I'm seeing a D and an M, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll see if I can get White Whiskers in.
Yeah.
Okay, David Bowie is still there. Okay. He's with your cat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they're getting along?
Yes, he's draped around... your cat is draped around David Bowie's shoulders and neck, but he's a little too small to hang off on both sides.
Oh my God, yeah. She was really small.
Yeah.
She was like the size of a kitten.
Aww.
Do you have any questions for her?
Just like, does she forgive me? She knows what it's about.
She wouldn't answer.
Oh no.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's...
Will you tell her I'm sorry? I didn't apologize, so it's hard for her to forgive me if I don't apologize.
She understands that you're sorry.
Okay, good. That's good.
But she didn't elaborate beyond that.
Wow.
Oh, cats, man.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, you can't win them all.
Cats don't always give you what you want.
No.
She's very into David Bowie.
She is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all that I wanted to get out of this, I think. If people want to hire you, how would they go about doing that?
And what they kind of- can contact me via email.
Okay.
At justdesserts? Question mark.
Okay.
At ymail.com.
Okay. And do you do?
I like, forgot the server for a moment.
Okay. Do you do like birthday parties and stuff like that?
No.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Roy. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
I learned that. Oh, I was reminded that I would like to start reading romance novels again.
Yeah.
I think that'd be very relaxing and fun.
I'm getting horny just thinking about it.
Hell yeah.
Roy, what did you learn today?
That not all shoes find a home on feet.
Some that of them is true. Find a home in a home.
In the walls.
And I learned that my cat does not forgive me.
What did you do?
I used to put tape on her paws so she would go crazy.
Aww.
Which, by the way, is funny.
That is funny.
Very mean. I didn't know I was a kid, but
I kind of want to do that to my dog now.
I don't know if it works the same with dogs.
Yeah.
Because cats is just like, they have so much sensitivity in their paws. And then if you put tape on it, they go like that.
Yeah.
You can just look it up. My sister used to call it kitty rodeo. anyway, I feel bad about it. I sought forgiveness. It was denied. So bear that in mind before you try it at home. Please don't. Your cat will never forgive you. that's our show.
We got a couple new butt pictures.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All from men.
Ooh,
which
oh,
is
yeah.
totally different from usually. I mean, it's usually all women. And then suddenly yeah. we got like a bunch of man butts, which is, you know, fine. Yeah. We got one from Joshua. He had a nice butt. He's pulled down his boxers and had a red shirt on. Great. We got one from Jeff, who's showing off his butt in kind of like spandexy shorts, and he's on stage.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Dancing with some people. And then Robert sent us his butt, and he's in like a Bob's Burgers costume with his friend. He's in a sexy burger costume, and he's just pulling down his pants to show his butt.
Yeah.
So yeah, good job, guys.
I support that.
Yeah. Please continue to send us butt pictures, babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes.
Thank you, Max Fun.
Thank you to my brother Nate for our theme songs.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Lisa Draws.
I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
And goodbye.
Yay! Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Hey, everybody. It's Emily.
And Lisa.
And it's the Maximum Fun Drive.
Our favorite time of year.
Yeah, Lisa's favorite movie is Drive.
I saw it once.
This is the Ryan Gosling of episodes.
Yes, that's right.
So put on your scorpion jackets and buckle up because we're here to urge you to...
pummel us with generosity.
Yeah. Donate now to support our show and all of the other great shows on the Maximum Fun Network. You are gonna feel awesome if you do it. And the goal this year is to reach 10,000 new and upgrading members. There's great gifts, and challenge donors have pledged small amounts per each new and upgrading member. So your initial contribution goes even further. Like every new person that donates, your funds will be matched by other people who.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
I like that.
Yeah. You can donate at a wide range of levels from $5 a month to $200 a month. We really like people in the $10, $20, $35 monthly levels. We appreciate that so much. It's basically yeah. the cost of Netflix, but you can do it in your car.
But then even if you can only do $5, that helps so much.
Yeah.
If you can do $200, then oh my God, like that's so great.
Yeah.
And then you get so many gifts.
And if you're in the entertainment industry, it is maybe even a tax write-off.
Oh.
Don't hold me to that. You should talk to an accountant.
Yeah, wait. Does this count as a charity?
No, but it's like
don't worry
when
about
you,
it.
When you pay for media,
I think this could be written off as professional development or research,
yeah,
or subscription or entertainment.
But that's not why you should donate. You should donate because the network puts on great shows.
Yeah, I mean, do it for us, but also a little bit for yourself.
Yeah,
make yourself feel good.
Yeah.
Also, this year there's a Max Fun Meetup Day coming up on March 28th. Which I think is a week after this podcast episode airs. And it's at 7 p.m. And all you need to do is check the list of meetups at MaximumFun.org/meetups2017. And that's just a place to connect with fellow Max Fun fans and listeners. Sounds really fun. There's also a live show that's going to close out this Max Fun drive.
Very exciting. There's a big extravaganza.
Yeah. They're going to be live streaming it to the world on March 31st. Kicks off at 7 p.m. Pacific Coast time, 10 p.m. East Coast time. You can go to MaximumFun.org for more info on that.
And that's it for now. You guys, please do it now while you're thinking about it.
Yeah, just go over to MaximumFun.org/donate. Click that donate button. Select whatever amount of money feels comfy to you.
You give your credit card and some other basic information. And
you give us your social security number and just don't worry about it. Just yeah. give us all your info. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, and the donation process is automatically each month. That's all you have to do. But do it now while it's on your mind. It's easy.
Do it now while you get gifts in exchange for it. I mean, that's pretty great. That doesn't happen all year round.
Now's the time.
And it really helps us continue to make the show. And we appreciate you guys so much. And all you previous members, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We love being a part of Maximum Fun.
Yeah.
And we love all of Maximum Fun's members.
We love you guys.
So thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.